Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 801, Arka. The discussion is about seeing the sun, seeing Krishna, seeing everything in relation to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I've been talking about the sun in this series of talks. When we think of the sun, we think of brightness and happiness. Today, I'm going to talk about clouds. Clouds. Clouds make us think of darkness, gloom, depression. It's all in relation to the sun. Clouds are in relation to the sun, because if the clouds are there, we can't see the sun. Of course, sometimes there are different kinds of clouds. There are such clouds that the sun can be partly seen through the cloud, or part of the sun is obscured by a cloud and part isn't. There can be blue in the sky as well as clouds. They're all different kinds of clouds. They have different names for people who study such things. They can be quite spectacular to look at, and I personally take a little interest in that and a little pleasure in that, seeing the different kinds of clouds and seeing Krishna's wonderful artwork, ever-changing kaleidoscopic artwork in producing all different kinds of clouds, which are never exactly the same. But there are some places, especially at this time of year, February, it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere, and in some parts of the Northern Hemisphere, you'll just get gray skies, day after day after day. You don't even see any particular distinct cloud, but it's just all cloud. And you never see the sun in the sky for days and days and days. Of course, if you go very far in the north, then it'll actually be fully dark. There won't even be anything like sunrise. If you go far enough north, then there is a certain distance. As a kid, I was up in John O'Groats at the north of Scotland. And the sun never, that was in the summer. Oh, that's a bit different, isn't it? Because in the summer, you don't have sunset. The sun just goes down toward the horizon and then starts rising again. But if you go further north, then you won't get any light at all. No sunrise, no sunset for 6 months a year. There are 2 days in a year, each one of 6 months. It's like that in the heavenly planets, but it's very different to the North Pole. Anyway, in climes just like the one I was born into, I spent the first, let me see, approximately 20 years of this miserable life, or it was miserable until I came to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, but in a place where the climate is pretty miserable. People may be pro-England and land of hope and glory and all that kind of thing, but they go for their they go for their holidays to Spain, not to England, many of them, because they expect to get more sunshine there. So gloom, it's gloom. We say a gloomy day because it doesn't, the sun comes up, but you don't see it. And everything seems a little dark. And even in the daytime, in such gloom, there's enough light to see what you're doing, but many cars, they'll have their lights on because it's just like gloomy all day. And gloomy, the word can also be used in relation to a person's mood. I'm feeling gloomy means I'm feeling depressed. And the two things often go together because the weather, if it's just overcast all the time, that word is used, overcast, when it's just gray skies and you can't even make out the sun where it is in the sky. then your mood also tends to become quite gloomy. And we find that people in those climes, they tend to drink a lot of alcohol. Their pleasure is it's in the mode of ignorance because such a dark climate and gross sex and then getting drunk and violence. These are different symptoms of the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance, one tends to become inactive, dull, gloomy, depressed. But another feature of the mode of ignorance is violence, meaningless violence, and just nastiness to others with no particular reason. Just because one's consciousness is so miserable and you just feel like making others miserable. It's a very low state of consciousness. So they're talking about the cloud and what's this got to do with Vishnu? We're talking about the sun. Well, the cloud is also a product of the sun, which is understood by the Vedic rishis who gave this example. The cloud is a product of the sun, but it obscures the sun from our vision. The sun is much greater than the cloud, but because we are a long way from the sun and we are very small, then a cloud, which is very small in comparison to the sun, and very far away from the sun, can obscure our vision of the sun. So in this sense, a cloud is like illusion or maya by which we don't see the sun. And if the whole sky is obscured by grayness for day after day after day, we might even start to doubt that there is any such thing as a sun, and just think, well, it's normal to be in this gray condition. And that's something like atheism. People can't see God. All they see is the gloom of this material world. And therefore they don't believe. I didn't see any sun. Where's the sun? People may give logical arguments. Well, you see, there's light, so there must be a sun. But people will say, well, I don't see any sun, so there isn't any sun. And it just seems to make sense. No one's ever given any evidence of the existence of the sun. Now, of course, this is hypothetical, what I'm saying, because no one makes such an argument, because even in gray-skied Scandinavia or England or whatever, there are times when you do see the sun. And it's not like that. So it's mostly in the winter, it's like that. And even in the winter, sometimes you'll see the sun. So just hypothetically, if there's just gray skies all the time, we might doubt that there's any such thing as a sun. And people who believe in it, they may be scoffed at. There's no evidence. You're just making it all up. There's no evidence of any sun. So like that, even though the cloud is made by the sun, by evaporating water, and then the sun evaporates the water, and that coagulates into a cloud, or a cloud cover that's made by the sun. And if we have knowledge of the sun, then we'll know that the sun exists and the cloud is a product of the sun, by which we can't see the sun. But if we're in gloomy consciousness produced by the covering, we'll doubt that there is any sun at all. So it's like that. Illusion, maya, is created by Krishna. And although maya is much less powerful than Krishna, and maya is a long way from Krishna, but we're also a long way from Krishna. And because we're very small, our vision of Krishna is covered by the cloud. So this is one example that we can conclude from the cloud. And there are many more, or several more, in relation to clouds, which the Vedic rishis have given. You see, we're just talking about one phenomenon here, the sun. And, of course, remarkable phenomenon. But the sun has given rise to so much philosophical thought among the Vedic rishis, and they're given so many examples by which we can understand the absolute truth simply by contemplating the sun. Most people don't think of this. Most people are not very philosophical. They take the rising and the setting of the, and the shining of the sun for granted. Others may be more inquisitive, and they make scientific investigation into what is the nature of the sun. Both science and philosophy, they are concerned with the nature of reality. There was no divide between science and philosophy in the Western world. It was just considered what we now call science, or no break between science and religion. Thinking and trying to understand things as they are, which is the meaning of the word philosophy. If we go to its etymological Greek roots, love of truth. You can see from this series of talks already so many examples have been given, and many more to come, how the Vedic rishis, they thought very deeply, and by the grace of Krishna within their heart, they're able to understand by seeing material nature. They're able to understand and explain to their disciples the nature of higher reality by seeing all the things around us. And this is very much apparent in the description of the 24 gurus described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. I gave a series of talks on that a few years ago. The 24 gurus that we can just see just by observing around us. We can observe all kinds of things going on around us which might not seem to be very important, but we can derive lessons from everything if our consciousness is in Krishna consciousness, and especially if we're trained in knowledge of Krishna by studying Shastra. Okay. Here's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 15, translation and commentary, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yataiva suryat prabhavanti vara punascha tasmin pravishanti kale bhutani bhumo stirajangamani tata harav eva guna pravaha. During the rainy season, water is generated from the sun. Now, the translation is given during the rainy season, but there's no rainy season per se in many parts of the world. There is in India, but the example pertains anywhere and everywhere where there's rain. In some parts of the world, there's not much rain at all. In some parts of the world, there's a lot of rain, but the same principle. During the rainy season, or whenever we see rain, rain is what? It's water generated from the sun, or the water is evaporated from the earth, from the seas, from the bodies of water. And in due course of time, during the summer season, the very same water is again absorbed by the sun. Yeah, so the sun gives rain, and the sun sucks up again rain. We have in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord Krishna says, "Tapami aham aham varsham nigrinami utsrijami cha." Krishna says, as the sun, I heat the world, and I send forth and I withdraw the rain. So it's all connected. So it's the same water is generated by the sun in the form of rain from the clouds, and then again sucked up by the sun. Similarly, this verse says, all living entities, moving and inert, are generated from the earth. And again, after some time, they all return to the earth as dust. Srila Prabhupada is bringing in this return to the earth as dust. Srila Prabhupada is introducing that in the translation with obvious biblical overtones. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that's another example given. From the earth, the bodies of all living beings are generated, and they return to the earth eventually, either by burning or by rotting, by being eaten by animals and insects, which is converted into the stool of the animals and insects. The chemicals within each body have come from the earth. They're replenished by the earth in the form of food, which comes from the earth. And eventually the chemicals, they return to the earth. So that's another example. What do these two examples show? Everything emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in due course of time, everything enters into him again. So that's another thing we can think of when we see the sun and we see the cloud. That we see the cloud is produced by the sun. The cloud sends forth rain. Not all clouds give rain, but the cloud that gives forth rain, there are different words in Sanskrit for rain clouds, jalada, rain or water giving cloud, nirada, same thing, water giving. So when we see that, if we're very philosophical and we're tuned into the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand that, oh yes, now the rain is coming from the cloud, which is coming by the energy of the sun, and that rain which is now coming on the earth will again go back to the sun, or again be lifted up by the sun. So in the same way, all living beings, they're generated from the Supreme Lord, and again they enter into him. What does that mean? That can be understood in various ways. That can be understood in terms of the universal creation and destruction, that all living beings, they come from the Supreme Lord at the time of Mahavishnu's breathing out, and again they enter into him at the time of his breathing in, which is his one breath is equal to the existence period of all the universe. So if we're very philosophical, we're very tuned in to Bhagavatam teachings, we can have such meditations when seeing the sun and the rain. A similar statement is in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, or a similar observation, but with a different analogy attached to it. This is from Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 7, text 50, translation by servants of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Gunaya gunanupadatte yata kalam vimunchati nateshu yujyate yogi gobhir ga eva gopatihi. Just as the sun evaporates large quantities of water by its potent rays and later returns the water to the earth in the form of rain, similarly, a saintly person accepts all types of material objects with his material senses. And at the appropriate time, when the proper person has approached him to request them, he returns such material objects. Thus, both in accepting and giving up the objects of the senses, he is not entangled. This is an important instruction for transcendentalists, as long as we're in this world, we have to have some kind of interaction with it. Even if we go to live in a forest cave away from society, still we have to eat, still we have to drink, still we have to breathe. So in this way, we have to take things from nature. A saintly person, I myself have taken the role of a saintly person in the service and on the order of an actually saintly person, my most worshipable Gurudev, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And we are enjoined, sannyasis or those who take the role of representing Krishna and the Krishna consciousness movement in this world, to accept gifts. Dadati pratigrithnati, to give and take. There's giving and taking. People give things to us, and we should give them to others. Only take as much as we need for our bodily maintenance and for what we need to spread Krishna consciousness, and don't take any more. Don't. You take it from others to be a medium by which they can make their offering to Krishna. And then you give that for serving Krishna. Someone may give me some money, I may give it to a temple to help maintain the temple in the services to Krishna. I may give it for printing books which are strictly about Krishna consciousness, and so on. So one can remember this, that everything is in flux. Just like on the universal scale, the water is being evaporated and then again sent forth, and then again evaporated and then again sent forth. So in the same way, if people give us something, it's not that we just keep it and think it's mine, but act as an instrument, just like the sun acts as an instrument in the service of the Supreme Lord. The sun god acts as an instrument in the service of the Supreme Lord in the Supreme Lord's plan for the functioning of the material world. So in the same way, a devotee accepts things and gives things and gives appropriately for serving Krishna. And just as the sun gives sunlight and water everywhere to all living beings, so in the same way, the devotee in his activities, he acts in such a way for the benefit of all living beings. Here's a verse from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. We'll find the word arka in here, but it comes actually three times in this verse, but twice it's the first is cut off by laws of Sanskrit grammar, and the third time it joins, it's there, but it joins with another word. Yatha ghanor ka prabhavor ka darshito yarkangsha bhutasya cha chakshusas tamaha evang tvahang brahma gunastad ikshito brahmang shakas yatmana atma bandanaha. Again, we're talking about the clouds. Although a cloud is a product of the sun, and is also made visible by the sun, it nevertheless creates darkness for the viewing eye, which is another partial expansion of the sun. Similarly, material false ego, a particular product of the absolute truth, made visible by the absolute truth, obstructs the individual soul, another partial expansion of the absolute truth, from realizing the absolute truth. All right, we're going to have to unpack this a little bit. The meaning isn't so obviously clear. A cloud is a product of the sun. Okay, all right, understood. Nothing difficult to understand about that. Now, here's an interesting point which we haven't discussed so far in this talk. But the cloud is also made visible by the sun. The cloud that is made visible by the sun, it obstructs vision of the sun by the eye, and the eye is also another expansion of the sun, inasmuch as the presiding deity of the eye is the sun god. The sun god is very intimately so the sun and the eye are very intimately connected. So we have the cloud, a product of the sun, made visible by the sun, but it obstructs the vision of the sun for the eye, which is intimately connected with the sun. Now, similarly, material false ego is a particular product of the absolute truth. And everything that we are able to understand, even if we misunderstand it, that is made possible by the absolute truth, because the absolute truth is the basis of everything, the absolute truth, Krishna, and everything else is a relative truth, and it's relative to Krishna, who is the absolute truth. And Krishna is not relative to anything else. He is independent. He's independently self-sufficient, which is, again, like the sun. At least it appears like that. Ultimately, the sun is dependent on Krishna, but at one level of observation, we can say that within the material sphere, the sun is not dependent on anything else within the universe, but everything within the universe is dependent on the sun. So the example is given that material false ego is a product of the absolute truth, but the very fact that we're able to perceive or conceive of the material false ego is also because of the absolute truth. Matasmriti Jnanam Apoharam Cha. Krishna makes consciousness and philosophizing and perception possible. But at the same time, that same ego obstructs our proper vision of who we are and who is God. It obstructs the proper vision of who we are. And who are we? We are a product of the absolute truth. But we can't understand the absolute truth because of false ego, which is also a product of the absolute truth. But the very fact that there is false ego, we can understand by the grace of the absolute truth, Krishna. And therefore, we can understand the problem and start to make a solution of it by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a little bit recondite. Okay. Now, another example about the cloud and the sun. Actually, there's quite a lot. Here's one from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the book by, much loved book by Srila Prabhupada. And this is in the description of the autumn season in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Here, the evaporation of the earth's water into clouds, and then again the cloud distributing water. In this part of the Bhagavatam, it's the analogy is given that the evaporating the water And then again, sending it forth, it's like a king collecting taxes, Srila Prabhupada explains, based on the Bhagavatam. Clouds are accumulated water drawn from the land by sunshine. Continually, clouds are accumulated water drawn from the land by sunshine. Okay, fine, easy to understand. Continually for 8 months, the sun evaporates all kinds of water from the surface of the globe. Means from the earth, there's water, so the earth becomes very dry. From streams, from rivers, from water maybe accumulated in some pot that's just sitting out in the backyard. From lakes, from mountains, from glaciers. For 8 months, the sun evaporates all kinds of water from the surface of the globe, and this water is accumulated in the shape of clouds, which are distributed as water when there is need. Similarly, the government exacts various taxes from the citizens, such as income tax and sales tax, which the citizens are able to pay by their different material activities, agriculture, trade, industry, and so on. This taxation is compared to the sun's drawing water from the earth. When there is again need of water on the surface of the globe, the same sunshine converts the water into clouds and distributes it all over the globe. Similarly, the taxes collected by the government must be distributed to the people again, as educational work, public work, sanitation work, and so on. This is very essential for good government. The government should not simply exact taxes for useless squandering. The tax collection should be utilized for the public welfare of the state. So there's another example that the gurus can explain to their disciples. Oh, the cloud in the sky. Okay, now we're talking about proper government. What's the cloud in the sky got to do with proper government? Here is the example. Here's another example about the false ego. Actually, I'm doing it a bit out of order here. I should have done that. Continuing on the theme of false ego from the Bhagavatam 12th canto. Gano yadarka prabhavo vidiryate chakshusvarupam ravim ikshate tada yadahyahankara upadiratmano jignyasaya nasyati tahyanusmarit. When the cloud originally produced from the sun is torn apart, the eye can see the actual form of the sun. Similarly, when the spirit soul destroys his material covering of false ego by inquiring into the transcendental science, he regains his original spiritual awareness. So the cloud is produced from the sun, which is like the false ego covering our consciousness, but the sun can also disperse the cloud. So, and then we can see directly the sun. So in the same way, then by Krishna's grace, Krishna, who has produced this false ego, Krishna tears apart this false ego, then we can see things as they are. There's a process for doing that, which begins with inquiring into the transcendental science. Here's part of Srila Prabhupada's purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 3, text 89. The sun may appear covered by a cloud, but actually it is the eyes of the tiny people below the cloud that are covered, not the sun. Yeah, we say the sun is covered by the cloud, but actually the sun is not covered by the cloud. It's our vision that is covered. The cloud is very small and insignificant in relation to the sun. If those tiny people rose above the cloud in an airplane, and we can see Srila Prabhupada is a jet-age Parivrajaka Acharya, he can give such examples. If those tiny people rose above the cloud in an airplane, they could then see the sunshine and the sun without impediment. That's a common thing that you take off in a plane and there's all clouds in the sky, but then you go up and above the clouds and then it's all bright and blue skies. Similarly, although the covering of Maya is very strong, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surpass the influence of the illusory energy is very difficult, but those who are determined to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord are freed from the clutches of Maya. Okay, so what example have we got here? The cloud is covering us. In this example, we have to go above the cloud. Then we can see clearly. We can see the sun. We can see Krishna. So catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord. Hang on. And Krishna's above the cloud and he'll take us above the cloud. This is the example given. Now, another example given in relation to the cloud. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, Madhya Lila, chapter 6, text 138. Vyasa sutra artha joiche surje kiron, shakalpito bhasha meghe kore achadon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to the Mayavadi sannyasis, the Brahma Sutra compiled by Srila Vyasadeva is as radiant as the sun. One who tries to interpret its meaning simply covers that sunshine with a cloud. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, is clear, just like the sun, absolutely clear. Now, to anyone less than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or to anyone who hasn't been enlightened by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Brahma Sutras appear to be arcane. What is the meaning? Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now we should inquire about Brahma. Now means when. And Brahma, what does that mean? And then the next sutra says, what is Brahma? Janmadhya Zayataha, from which there is birth, etc. Oh dear. It may be difficult to understand, but for one who knows by hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, it all becomes very clear. But, just like the sun is very clear, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the teaching of Shankaracharya, his commentary on the Vyasa Sutra, he's tried to interpret its meaning without giving the actual meaning. And therefore, what's happened is that the clear understanding is just like covering the sunshine with a cloud. So various examples are given of clouds. This whole material world is dark and gloomy. It's a cloudy existence. Let's come to the sunlight of Krishna. Come out of the gloom. Come out of the doom. Come to Krishna. Light up your life with Krishna. Go beyond the cloud. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyavacha. Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Dante nitaya chunakung padayo nipatya kritva chaka kushatame tadam ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne kuratana rava. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumo corona vayang vicharya. Hari rasa madira madati mata puvi viluta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.